Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Twitch, and we are back with another edition of Lab Rats Culture, and I'm very excited, very honored for our guest today. This is going to be a very nice conversation. Now, listen, I'm going to give you a little bit of an introduction. Our guest I have known since 2004.
Yes.
Okay? The city is Los Angeles. The setting is Choreographer's Carnival. Okay?
Wow.
Pre-show, right? The open cipher circle is going on, okay? I see a young man and a young lady putting forth so much energy in the freestyles that I could not help but be captivated and jump in the circle and prove myself as well. We went round for round for round for round for round.
Yes, yes.
I think we were even dancing so hard that I don't think we really formally introduced ourselves.
No, we skipped
until
that
we were done.
Yes, yes.
I remember leaving that night with a mutual respect, inspiration, and a ruined outfit because I was so sweaty. Since then, the guest that I am talking about, the young man that I am talking about, has his passions and his talents have led him to be a professional dancer working with hip-hop pioneer Rennie Harris in his company Pure Movement.
Yes.
He has been a cultural ambassador for the United States. He has gone on to win battles all over the globe in popping and continues to shape culture in what I think is one of his most important endeavors with the company Versus Styles.
Yes, yes.
My man Breeze Lee is in the building. Welcome, brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Now, aside from that long-winded intro that I just gave you, could you please give us just a little bit of your background, like where you're from?
Originally from Los Angeles. I was born in New Orleans because my mom's side of the family is from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, after I was born in New Orleans, she basically had to come back to work. She's actually a professional ballerina. So I grew up in the dance world pretty much all my life. Didn't want to do it at all when I was a kid, especially ballet at that time. I got heavily into martial arts. And from 6 to like 21, 22, that's all I was about.
It was martial arts. Okay.
But slowly, my mom was telling me as I was a teenager and whatnot, she's like, yo, ballet is going to help you. Ballet is going to help you. I was like, all right, I'll do it. I'll go for it. So I was doing it mainly for the stretch for the balance and whatnot. At that time, though, I was listening to a lot of hip-hop music because growing up in the Silver Lake / Echo Park area, 90s, not so much of your fun neighborhood. Right. It was rough, but that was what I was listening to, was hip hop music. So even when I was training with martial arts, shadow box or whatever, I would listen to Biggie, Pac, just those kind of songs back in the days, right? It wasn't so much dance yet for me at that point, but I did learn at that moment a basic rock wave. That was like my go-to thing whenever I was getting down. Yeah, from that moment, I went to a school dance, and I busted my one rock wave, and I noticed I was getting a lot of attention from the girls, and I was like, this is dope. This is dope. I think I need to start switching. Why am I doing karate? Why am I doing this when I could be a lot of loving right now, a lot of attention? So from that moment, at my senior year, I was just kind of asking around. I didn't know because my mom was strictly ballet. She was like, you're not doing hip-hop. I was like, why? She's like, because it's just, you know, she had no idea about hip-hop culture and dance. It was all about ballet. So I was like, all right, cool, whatever, whatever. So I just kept asking around and looking online. At that time, there was no YouTube. There was no Facebook, nothing like that.
Right.
I don't even think there was MySpace at that time. Right. We're going way back. That's how old I am.
Way back right now.
Yeah, that's how old I am. But I would do as much research as I could. At that time, there was a DVD or VHS tape by Mr. Wiggles, and it was like his sessions. It wasn't even a workshop or a breakdown. It was just sessions of him dancing.
Right.
I bought it. And I studied it as much as possible, tried to mimic every move, not knowing, not letting my mom know that I was doing this.
Right.
She would think that most of the time I was actually going to karate class training when I was actually going to her studio when it was closed and trying to practice dancing. Yes. So at this time, you know, karate was kind of slipping from me because I was just getting more interest in movement of dance. Right. Okay, did my research, kind of went on. A year later, I told my mom, I was like, Mom, I think I'm going to quit karate and I'm going to be a dancer. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, that's great. She's thinking I'm about to say I'm going to be a ballet dancer, right? And she's like, that's great. Okay, I'll get you in class. But I was like, no. Hip hop. Oh, hell no. So we had a long conversation. She was like, why are you going to quit karate? You know, you're a 2-time national champion. You've toured the world with karate. Why are you going to do that? I was like, no, I feel this is what I want to do. So after talking to her, she said, all right, you'll do hip hop, but you have to take at least 2 years of ballet. I was like, fair enough. Fair play. I'll do that. Okay. So I did. I took from her, and, you know, I got my pliés, my rendezvous,
you got a little bit of turnout,
you know,
right?
Adagio, all that good stuff.
The question is, did you wear the tights?
No.
You did not wear the tights?
That's where I drew the limit. I was like, Mom, I didn't know. And if there's a photo, you will not find that photo. I promise you will not find that photo. But, I did my nutcrackers and all that stuff. Right. But it was just an excuse and a reason for me to just try to figure out what this dance was about. Okay, still to this day, I'm not really finding the pioneers, the founders. I'm going to Millennium.
Right.
And I'm just taking class after class after class. Right. Not really feeling that much fulfillment because I'm also kind of understanding the business aspect of it.
Right.
I'm understanding that these teachers are not knowing what my first name is. And they're just saying, okay, yeah, thank you, but I'll see you next week. And it's just like, I found out there was an event called Freestyle Session, and it was in 2003. And this was the first time, I guess, you know, to my knowledge, that it was in town.
Right.
And I watched it, and I went to it live, and I saw it, and there was breakers, there was poppers, there was lockers, and I was like, yo, this is it. This is what I wanted to do.
And let me ask you this, too, real quick. Was this your first experience in a event that was, strictly hip-hop culture?
Yes.
It was.
Before then, it was either studio setting or watching music videos, which, Michael Jackson Forever, you know, Janet, Love It, this and that. But real live dancing, street-style dancing, freestyle dancing, first time.
Really?
And I brought my camcorder at that time where it was like the 8mm tape.
Right.
You know, okay. You know what
I
I'm talking
know
about,
what,
right?
Yeah, I have a couple
sucker.
Of those still.
Yeah, big
still
old
have
thing.
A couple of those.
And I just couldn't believe it. And I actually saw for the first time the Electric Boogaloos, where it was Poppin' Pete, Mr. Wiggles, Skeeter Rabbit at this time because he was still alive, Sugar Pop. I'm seeing Boppin' Andre. I'm seeing all these guys that I looked up on the internet, and I'm just hearing about them. We don't even see footage. I'm just hearing about them. Like, did you see this at that event, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I want to see this. So I finally saw it, and I remember leaving that night from the event at like 10:30, 11 by myself, like saying, This is what I want to do.
Wow.
From then on, man, I just started training. I started dancing. I tried to remember everything that I saw that day or even through the video. And I also started really becoming more outgoing with street style dancers.
Going out with street style dancers. Before I ask that, I want to ask this, okay? Within this transition, did you ever find that there were correlations between, what you had learned in karate and what you were taking in ballet? Because you can look at that and say that those are on two totally different ends of the spectrum.
Absolutely.
But they also have the common denominator of the utmost of discipline, correct?
Yeah, I was just going to say discipline because when I came from the martial art background, I had nothing but discipline and focus and just like, this is it. This is the one way,
right?
Same thing with ballet. It's almost like you have to overcommit yourself to ballet because it is probably one of the hardest dance styles in this world. I still think that, still to this day. But I think it is very different from hip hop in a sense of rhythm, body coordination, even to this day. You're more grounded in hip hop, but you're also, you know, it's just a whole different vibe. But the similarity is discipline, and there's also a big thing when it comes to center balance, even with hip hop, even with ballet, even with martial arts. And this is where now we're talking movement.
Right.
That's when it's all in connection to me.
I see.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how I'm kind of seeing it right now in my time.
I love it. Cool.
So, yeah, I did that. Studied as much as I could. It wasn't until I met Jackie Lopez, who's actually my wife right now.
Yeah, which absolutely, which was the young lady I was referencing earlier, and we'll talk about that. Yes. We will talk about that. Yes.
So I met her through a friend from high school because she was actually my friend's teacher, and she was going to UCLA at the time. Right. She was doing her senior, they call it senior project, senior thesis, and basically she needed dancers, street dancers. My friend recommended me, so I went to the rehearsal. She liked what I did. It was basically some, you know, just popping, basic popping, right, man, back at that time.
Right.
And we caught on, and we realized we had a lot in common, but she's the one that also introduced me to Rennie Harris. Because he was doing residency teaching at that time.
Got it.
Go ahead.
Got it. And real quick, I just want to say, too, I will include a link to some of Rennie Harris' work. Yeah. You know, without going too much into a huge history lesson, Rennie Harris is one of the pioneers of street dance style and made incredible waves for the culture and is currently in Philadelphia, correct?
Yeah, based out of Philadelphia.
Awesome.
He opened up my world dramatically when I met him because this was the first time that I'm seeing hip hop street style dancing being performed on a live theater stage. And what I mean by that, I mean by storytelling. I mean by 1 hour to 75 minute length productions. I'm not talking about, let's put a hip hop piece on for 5 minutes.
Right.
Because we've seen that, you know, like even from the 60s, we're talking about the lockers, but I'm talking about storytelling. I was like, this is a whole other dimension.
Now, what had been your experiences up till then? Like what? So
battles.
What? So prior to you seeing the Rennie Harris performances, what was your experience in watching hip hop as a spectacle?
Carnival.
Okay.
Okay. Carnival. Yeah. Okay. Again, music videos, or if I went to a concert and I saw live dancers there, or competition/battles.
Right.
Other than that, I've never seen, hip hop movement being presented the way Rennie presented it.
Right. Right.
And that was just mind blowing for me to know that there's this whole other world, this whole other dimension where you could just apply your creative expression, your aspect onto a live stage.
Now, would you say that was pretty much the precipice of what caused the shift in you saying, this is what I want to do and this is how I want to do it?
Yes, because I saw longevity. Because I will say, even though I was doing the battles or I was trying to attempt the battles, and I'll be honest too, the industry wasn't really on my side either because I learned a lot from that aspect as well.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to figure out as I go, early 20s, I'm like, What am I going to be doing? I love to dance, but how am I going to support myself, my loved ones, and keep this longevity going? And I felt when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, I see this portal,
absolutely,
and I think this is where I want to go
absolutely.
Now. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now you're at a point where you've made the switch. You've given yourself direction. Now let's talk about some of the biggest obstacles that you had coming along with, and I know we just briefly talked about, trying to figure out the industry, but as just choosing a career in dance or just a path in dance is actually much bigger than the industry, right? Which is what I want to get down to. But then also finding your way to what you want to do, you have obstacles, whether it be support, not just lack of funds, but lack of like-minded people being around you. So could you talk about some of your biggest obstacles and also some of your biggest advantages?
Yes. So I will say, once my mom saw me with the dance and all that, she disappeared. Like, she was good with it. She supported me. So in terms of that, I didn't have an obstacle in terms of like support, it was hard for me to fit in terms of movement because I felt like I was coming into dance late in the game for my age.
Okay.
I felt like I have a lot to work on and I feel I'm not getting accepted by, my peers. And I'm not even figuring out why I'm not getting accepted. I don't know if it's because I'm training wrong or maybe because I'm not as street as them. I'm just trying to figure it out. But I think the hardest struggle for me was mental. It was more like beating myself up. I thought I was worse than what I was, or it was mainly me being harder on myself than the surroundings.
Of course.
Yes, financially, we can go there for sure. I had to scrap up pennies and this and that to go to this event or to even go to class, you know, to take class. Right. And that was very difficult because I definitely had to humble up and do, you know, side jobs or this job that I definitely didn't want to do, you know, and so I could just do what I want to do for 1 hour of the day. Mm-hmm. That was a minor struggle in the beginning. But yeah, I would say personally for me, the biggest one was just mental. It was like, should I be doing this? Right. Am I good enough to do this? Do I fit in? And how do I know if I fit in? You know?
And you know, I think something that helps with that a lot too is when you can find like-minded people and, you know, like people to dance with, whether they be a mentor or just somebody that you are studying with, a student.
Yes.
So, you know, can you talk about, you know, who or what helped you with that mental struggle?
Rennie Harris. And honestly, I look at him as a father even more than my blood father.
Right.
Because he didn't just raise me in the dance. He raised me through life. He raised me through the business of it and even just through the culture of it. This man, to me, was the first one that said, hey, come here. I'm gonna show you what's up.
Right.
I'm just going to show you what's up. And it wasn't even by saying those words. It was just like, you want to come to this gig? Come to class tomorrow.
Right.
No, you suck. Come to class tomorrow. No, got to work on it. It was that kind of treatment.
We have such a shortage of that these days too. It's just I don't know what the epidemic is, but the confidence to know that you can say to someone, hey, I see the fire in you, but don't get hype on yourself. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like you're still right at the beginning, but you know, if you rock with me, it's going to be tough love, but I'm going to show you the way.
Yes.
Right?
And I think I related to Rennie in that sense because of karate. It was the hard love. It was a tough love because the same thing in karate was like, we're going to beat you down and you're going to come back the next day and we're still going to beat you down. And it was just like, so that mentality to me was what I wanted. He had the same mentality. Like, I think maybe still to this day, I've had this relationship with him for, oh man, over 12 years now. Mm-hmm. And I maybe heard him say, good job once.
Right.
And this is in performance. This is in battles. But I also know too, the love that he does have for me and the encouragement that he has given me and the drive. But that tough love is very neglected these days. Mm-hmm. But because I feel like, and this is a whole other subject, we're talking business now. Mm-hmm. Teachers don't want to be as hard as it used to be back in the days. Absolutely. Because yes, we got to make a living.
Yep.
We got to keep encouraging people. Yep. And we're also in this generation where the young generation just wants to hear you're doing it
right
without really working for
it. Right.
And I still, even to this day, because I still teach kids to this day, I'm now having this trouble with them because I'm like, no.
Right.
You can cry. You can do all what you got to do, but you don't have it and you're going to get it, but you don't have it now.
Right.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes these kids don't come back. But then I also know, it's a relationship thing too with the teacher student. However, I feel like what Rennie gave me in terms of that was gold.
That's awesome.
It's gold.
That's awesome.
And I feel like that's why the longevity of my career, still to this day, knock on wood, is still lasting.
I love it. And look, while we're on the subject of people, I want to now talk about the young lady I was referencing.
Yes.
Known as Miss Funk.
Yes,
Jackie.
Miss Funk. Miss Funk.
Who's equally as funky. So dope. And I did not know then that she would be your wife now.
Yeah, me neither. Back then, I didn't either. We were just honestly best of friends, man. Like, we had this, it was the same drive like I'm talking with Rennie. We had the same commitment, same discipline, same drive, where we wanted to just dance, but really make sure we represent the pureness and the essence of hip-hop dance culture. Mm. And at that time, too, there wasn't so much of putting in one dance as you would see now, locking, popping, hip hop, house, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You would just see maybe one style.
Right.
So we were like, yo, now's our time. We're pretty familiar with locking. We're pretty familiar with popping. People haven't caught the wave of house yet.
Right.
It really hasn't caught on at that like 2004 at that time. Mm-hmm. So let's try to do this. Let's try to make sure we represent all street style dances. Mm-hmm. the people that followed her were from her senior project, like Got me it. As well. But right. we just kind of took it on, and she wanted to learn popping, and I wanted to learn house. So that was more like us getting together separately, where it's like, yo, you teach me, I teach you. And it's like, okay, cool. After that, of course, we love to gossip and talk and, you know, yeah, our members, they don't want it. This, they don't want it. Da, 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 da. They don't know how hard it is. This, they don't know. Carnival is no joke. Like, we're talking like that, you know, right, we got to right. represent, blah, blah, blah. But we realized just the drive and the commitment is what kind of glued us together and our right. passion for dance.
Right. And I'll say still to this day.
Yes.
And you're talking about the past right now, but it's still to this day.
Yes, yeah. yes, very much. From then on, she's been, like my mother and like Rennie, a huge supporter. Mm. A huge supporter for me, and also a reality check for me. Like, no, don't do that.
Right.
Represent yourself the way you are, the right. way who you are, and just keep it true. And because if you talk to Jackie, she's the biggest loving woman mm-hmm. I ever met, mm-hmm. but she's also very straightforward.
Absolutely. But let me give you a chance to expand on that. just you know, more specifically,
yes.
because it is, it's you know, your wife or your significant other, whoever it may be, I feel like is the to me the it is the better half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, because it is the person that is not afraid to tell you, like,
yes,
no, don't do that.
Don't
I don't
do
care
that.
What yeah. what everybody else is saying.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
this is.
She's even told me, like, many times, even, you know, when I got out of circle and the guys are like, "Woo, this and that," she's like, "Nah." nah. I was like, so of course I had to jump right back in there.
The most,
yeah,
right.
You
that's
know,
awesome.
But that's what made her and I think, just so special as a couple. You know, and
right.
yes, we then from then on we were like, "Yo, what if? Why don't we take away this crew thing but make it a company thing?"
Okay.
And that's when in 2005 we had that idea and we called ourselves Versastyle, because we wanted to be versatile mm-hmm. within our all craft. Styles. But Jackie's the one that came back. I'm the one that said, "Yo, why don't we call ourselves Versatyle Crew?" She's like, "Oh, I like that. And she's like, the next day she comes back, "What about Versastyle? A little hip hop twist." I'm like, "Yeah, let's all keep right. that, babe. That's better. That sounds better. It sounds more hip hop, anyway." So we ran with that in 2005 and on. And from then on, yes, we've had our struggles as a company, mm-hmm. but we've just experienced so much opportunities, so many blessings, so many, like, experiences.
So much experience.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's
of
just
course.
Been amazing. We are now, or we have been since 2009, a 501 nonprofit company.
Love it.
And the company itself is playing two missions at this point.
Right.
This is now, but we didn't even have that vision back in 2005.
Right.
It's kind of organically happening
mm-hmm.
each year.
Mm-hmm.
We serve two missions. One, we put on live theater performances, like
okay.
1 hour, like Rennie now,
right.
Rennie Harris,
right.
Rennie Harris Pure Movement. But we also are very, very strong in the community.
Right.
So we've developed a pipeline, we call it Versastyle Next Generation, where we started in 2009, mm-hmm. Basically coming off of Jackie teaching at local schools.
Right.
She was teaching at charter schools,
right.
and she was recruiting them, and she was basically saying, "Hey, why don't you come to our community class?"
Mm-hmm.
This is when I was like, "Okay, yeah, let's do this." From then on, these kids just started following us.
Right.
Every Friday they would come, and from then on, we realized, oh, we actually have another generation mm-hmm. underneath our A company.
Wait, now let me back up just a second and real quick. So can you just explain what the community class is to
yes.
listeners, watchers, real quick?
Community class is basically for the inner city kids that can't go to other studios and pay the high prices,
yes.
you know, but they can still get the hip hop training.
Right.
So every Friday night, still to this day, from 2009 till now, we just had one last night, we have classes 6:30 to 7:30.
Right.
For hip hop, and then 7:30 to 8:45 house, and all these classes for 18 and younger are $5.
It's amazing, and I'll tell you why that's amazing. If you're not in the Los Angeles dance
yes.
scene, usually your classes run somewhere, depending on the studio, run between $13 to $19. And if we're talking about master classes, you know, which
yeah.
usually occur on Friday nights to kick the weekends off, you know for. You're looking at about $25 to $30.
Yes.
So to get top of the line, premium, authentic hip hop street dance training for $5, it's a deal.
It's a deal. It's a deal. But we've been very blessed to also, because we're a nonprofit, we received you know, grants and donations mm-hmm. from people that believe in the culture and believe in the mission of passing it on to the youth. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that is a huge, huge thing for us where it's like, yo, if we want to keep this hip hop culture alive, right. we have to share this with the youth. Mm-hmm. And why not? Why are we only doing it in terms of this business aspect when it came from these types of neighborhoods?
Right.
These types of neighborhoods is what created hip hop.
Right.
You know, the inner city where they right. didn't have nothing, right. but they made it out of something.
Right.
You know,
right.
they made
Absolutely.
Something out of nothing.
Absolutely.
So to me, it's like, yes, we have to give back to this community. And that's what we're doing. We're specifically giving back to the San Fernando mm-hmm. community and the East LA community. So these kids, every Friday, they're either busing it, they're training it 2 hours to come to 2.5 hours of classes, of class every Friday yeah, night.
Absolutely.
But
incredible.
From that dedication and that love, now, 2017, the kids that we started working with in 2009 are all our A company dancers because we built them through a pipeline. So we kept them Friday nights. We opened up another special VSNG mm-hmm. rehearsal on Sunday for 2 hours where it's specifically like, this is theater 101 etiquette. This is downstage. This is upstage. This is the wings. Okay, how do you put formations together? How do you do mm-hmm. multiple mm-hmm. dances? Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're going to train. Now I'm going to give you boot camp calisthenics. Like, I'm trying to train them how to be professional dancers.
Right.
They're all now touring. They're young, in their young 20s. They're teaching in the communities, and they're performing worldwide now.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
I love that. come on. Does it get any better than that, really? Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I want to focus on right now, okay, is the segmented parts of your philosophy, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. That was probably a very wordy way to say that. I'm so sorry. but really, I just want to talk about, because I know that you have been all over the world and had much experience mm-hmm. in battling, okay? Mm-hmm. And you've taken that experience, and now you are passing it on to the youth. So what I'd like to do now is kind of take me into the mind of battle mode breed.
Training. Oof. Yes, now in my 30s or whatnot, I do know it's more mental than physical, right?
Okay.
Let's go back, though. All I was doing was training, was just foundation. And I feel like that is what gave me a good platform to work off of. Mm-hmm. And when I mean by foundation, I mean by whatever vocabulary movements that I've been given. Mm-hmm. What I was told and then what I realized along the way too is, okay, you take that one vocabulary, how do you make 10 variations off of that one vocabulary step?
Wow.
Okay, now make another 10 off of that one. 10, 10, 10, 10. Okay, now how do you transition all of them, put them all together within one round? Now we're talking training for battling, right? Because the hardest thing to do is freestyle.
Right.
In a live audience, under pressure, you want to win. That dude just did this or she did that. How do I respond to this? Mm-hmm. So this is all what's going on in literally 2 minutes of time.
Of course.
Because it's 1 minute one side, 1 minute the other, right?
Absolutely.
So when you're talking about battling, you have to think, and I'm not trying to get all crazy about it, but it's almost like going to war or like a game of chess. You have to have a strategy.
Of course.
And of course, the strategy starts with the training, right? So from training, it already goes down to, okay, you got your vocabulary steps. You got to start listening to music mm-hmm. like it's left and right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of dancers right now, you'll still see to this day, they'll go into the event. Even though the DJ is playing, they'll mm-hmm. still go in listening on their headphones, popping music.
Right.
Just to be in the groove, in the mode, right. or just to know, hey, he might be playing that song in the next round. I know which beats. Pick it up. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
So with that, you have the music, but then a lot of times too, the conditioning is very bad. Mm. And I learned this as I started doing world events. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I'm experiencing jet lag. I'm experiencing different hours.
Right.
I'm experiencing now more rounds than ever
right.
because I'm getting better as I battle, you know, and I'm getting into the finals or semifinals. Mm. These are more rounds now because it starts with prelims.
Right.
Starts with one round, then maybe the top eight is two rounds. Mm-hmm. Semifinals is two rounds, maybe three. Finals is definitely three rounds.
And we're saying that all this is in the same day.
Same day most of the time, right? So you get there like 12 in the noon, and you're probably not doing your final round until maybe 10 o'clock at night,
right?
Because you're waiting for the other categories to go through too, right?
Right.
Training wise, though, I feel what's also kind of getting lost in translation is the discipline of just putting yourself down and literally being, okay, I'm going to work on my foundation.
Yes.
Because yes, America, we're known for creativity, self-expression, and this is amazing, but we're losing the foundation of it. So you're building, you're expressing yourself, but on what foundation? On what platform?
And where have you experienced this the most? Where did you find that to be kind of like when did that really hit you in the face? Did it take traveling to like another country to see, to compare disciplines to, you know?
Yeah, I'd have to say when I went to Korea, when I was representing U.S. For the R16 Korea, I was like, yo, these guys, all they do is train. And they foundation and they build off of it, because you could see within their pop is clean, is crisp. It's not like, I'm going to try to overcompensate this so I can get a hard pop. It's already embedded in them.
Absolutely.
It's hard to explain when we're talking. You have to kind of see it, but it's like, you know, between a clean, crisp pop and somebody that's really trying to overcompensate to make it just as hard or equal. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you think has some of the cleanest and crispest? Crispest?
Crispest.
Most crisp?
Man.
Most, come on, Steven.
Are we talking like mentor, teacher overall? Are we talking my peers now?
Like, somebody that you can reference and be like, that's a clean pop.
Poppin' Pete. Man, that man. I've never seen, still to this day, somebody pop as hard and as clean and as crisp, but still make it funky, raw, dancing at the same time. Like, this man is just, we have a saying, like, you didn't pick dance, dance picked you.
Right.
And honestly, dance picked him, and he's just like the all-time MVP. But you see it through time. You see it in his body. You see it, like, though, because he started, I mean, his older brother is Boogaloo Sam, who created Poppin' / Boogaloo. Mm-hmm. So he's coming from straight from the source. So I know he wasn't really thinking about practicing back in the days like how we think of it as now.
Right.
They just dance. So it's embedded in his body. But what I'm trying to say now for the dancers now is we need to incorporate that type of mentality. Well, whether you think of it as dancing, sessioning, training, whatever, you just have to keep exercising this in order to just make it become natural as walking.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're faking the funk to me.
So do you think that discipline is one of the key values that we're missing here in the States as far as street dance goes? Is it discipline or is it ignorance or is it both?
Maybe let's say both. Because I don't want to step on anybody's toes and put them down and say, you know this. But I think right now I'm going to go more with the discipline because I feel like that's what worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be honest. I've seen so many people still to this day that have more talent and more potential than I ever had, but I still am able to maybe come out more on top or maybe surpass them because I'm just like, I'm committed. Like, you know, I'm going to out dance you or I'm going to out train you.
Right.
I'm going to outdo something that you're not willing to go for.
Exactly.
So I feel like if a lot of us dancers can incorporate that mentality, all while still having fun and having the passion and the love for it, America will be so much stronger in terms of street style dancing.
I love that. And what's great about that too is that you share this mindset and you know you're working on that every day and you have a place to pass that on to people that are going to continue to shape our culture, you know. I think a lot of the times now and I'm talking about street dance in general. Sometimes we get caught up a lot in what's going on right now. And I really do feel like we need to focus on what's about to happen in the next 5 to 10 years with street dance, as opposed to what's happening right now. Like, you know, with all of the views and the viral sensations and all that. All of that is going on, but at the end of the day, it's where we are right now. It's where our culture is, right?
Yes.
But where we can put our focus is on the youth. right? Yes. On the youth where they might not have been, they might not have been wrapped up in all of that just yet. And they're still open to learning foundation and thinking that the OGs are cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And actually revere the OGs,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think you're in just a prime location just to continue to pass that on, man.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think it's important right now because we are getting distracted.
Mm.
I want to say distracted because, yeah. Look, social media is a great tool. It's
yes.
an amazing tool,
yes.
but it can be a major distraction too. And I'm seeing more kids, like you just said, infatuated with likes than just lock yourself in your room and just train.
All right. Exactly.
You don't have to publicize it all the time. Publicize when it is the finished product or, you know, or maybe publicize the journey mm-hmm. of it sometimes, you mm-hmm. know, but as a battler too, you never want to, even Mr. Wiggle says, he goes, I'm not going to share with you. If we're battling, then we're battling,
right.
but we're not going to exchange.
Right.
Because
right.
exchanging means I'm giving you my bread and butter
right.
when you can possibly take that, turn around and go make some money with
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to take that from me, we're going to battle. I'm going to make sure at least I have this win over you or this idea where like, yo, you know, you got that from me when I
right,
smoked
right.
you. You know what I mean? Like, but I agree right. with that because that's what's getting lost. It's like, I learned this one thing and now I'm gonna show off.
Right.
No, where's the essence? What's the meaning? Do
right.
you know the history behind that?
Right.
These are things that are being lost within a 1 minute clip.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what I like, Brisu, is you know, even throughout this interview, you have a great memory of what a lot of your teachers have told you, not just showed you, right? So I want to ask, what is one of the best pieces of advice when it comes to teaching, when it comes to passing on information to your students? What is a piece of advice that, you know, one of your mentors or maybe you picked up from a teacher that literally caused a paradigm shift, you know?
Probably Rennie.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing, and I think he kind of took this maybe philosophy, or I don't know, maybe it's just embedded, but maybe through Bruce Lee, like a teacher is just a guide. And you have to have this 50-50 relationship with the student.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be willing to be a sponge and be humble and learn. And then that is your job to give them everything that you have learned.
Right.
Because then there is no evolution,
right.
in my opinion.
Right.
So for me, whenever I am teaching, I'm trying to, most of the time, I'm trying to not just pour out the history, the meaning, and the physical movement,
mm-hmm.
but just my heart behind it and the passion. Because I want them to feel it and see where, yeah, you know what, you're getting it. Though you know, I'm trying to go to the youth and at a $5
mm-hmm.
class,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I had to pay over $4,000 to train in the East Coast for 2 months
right.
and learn all this stuff and get put down and tell me that I suck and this and that
right.
for you to get this right away.
Right, right.
But that was my journey. Their journey is hopefully they get it as soon as possible,
mm.
but they also understand where it came from.
Absolutely.
So for me, the student, I need to know the student is leaving with information, the meaning behind it, the essence behind it,
mm-hmm.
the hard work behind it, and knowing that, okay, now you got to go put your homework
mm-hmm.
in. And the work doesn't start every time when you come to class or rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you go home.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go home and practice, then we're both wasting our time.
Right.
Because then it's like, then we're just building a friendship that's cool, but I don't want to be friends. I want to know that you're going to learn this movement. You're going to learn this vocabulary. You're going to learn this essence. And you're going to be able to pass it down, explain it, share it, and give it to the next generation.
Absolutely.
And if they don't know how to do that, then somewhere down the road, I think I'm failing. So
right.
there's...
Which leads me to that's great, because that actually leads me to my next question is how important is it for a teacher to immerse their students in the culture of whatever they are teaching?
It's the most important thing to me. I think it is. I think it's
mm-hmm.
just like to put them in the culture. And that's what I try to do with the kids, you know, like, don't just come to class. Don't just come to rehearsal. Go to these events. Let's
right.
go to these block parties. You have to experience this culture. You can't just hear it from my words and be like, oh, that's what hip hop is. Okay. Cool,
right.
I get it. No, you need to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. You need, when, you know, traveling, you get the experience when you travel instead of reading it from a book.
Right.
You know, you can only imagine what it is when you read it from the book, but you know what it feels like, what it smells like, what it looks like in reality when you travel. Mm-hmm. Same thing with dance and with hip hop culture. And if they don't know how to give and receive, then the culture is now,
right,
it's diminishing.
Because there's only so much that you can learn in a classroom, right? You
absolutely
know, you can show the steps, you can tell them what the name of a step is, but it's not until you experience the certain groove that go with those steps when you hear a DJ throw a song on that maybe you weren't anticipating hearing, and it hits your body in the right way, right?
Because I mean, you can't do like a soulful line dance in a studio. It's kind of awkward, you know what I mean? You got to go to either the club or you got to go to an event where the DJ plays that famous song, you know, this is how we do. And then all of a sudden everybody's like doing the prep or running. And then it's, you see the call and response, because first of all, the DJ laid out the track.
Yeah.
The dancers are now responding, but then now one dancer just threw a movement out. The whole area, the whole cypher is doing it.
Yes.
Then the next dancer throws the Reebok and everybody's doing it for like 2-8 counts. And that is hip hop dance slash culture.
Yes.
You can't get that in a studio. You can't get that essence. You can't get that funny vibe, meeting this new person, meeting that person, tripping on that person and laughing about it. This is the culture, and this is what we're talking about exchanging. And then at the same time, you can't really do a cipher in a studio setting either.
Right.
You got to have the lights dimmed. You got to be in the zone. You got to be sweating through your second shirt.
Right.
Playing the DJ playing for 3 hours and you high off of music.
Right. Absolutely.
Not the alcohol, not whatever. Yes, just music. This is where the students need, where Jackie and I like, go.
Right.
Get in there. Like now's the time. They're like, no, you're getting in there. You're not leaving the club until you get in there.
I love that.
They get out of the cipher. It's the best feeling I ever had in my life. Oh my. And now literally I'm standing outside on the circles watching all my guys, the ones that I've like raised since 2009.
Right.
They're like cipher hogs. I'm like, y'all need to get out. Like, get out.
You need too much time.
Yeah, like,
come
you
on.
Need to give them some, give other people some time. Right, they're just like, all right, yeah, man, all right. Go ahead, go. I'm like, yo, but that is the beauty about it, because that is the culture.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
is the culture. You
that's
know,
awesome,
so.
And that's amazing. Now, let me take it back a little bit too, because you have experiences to share, you know, in the competitive field, mm-hmm. you know, and all around the world, like I've mentioned before. So let me ask you about your first serious battle. Like, I know that, you know, I think being street dancers, we like our first battle might not be like the serious one where we've been like, I've been training for this and training mm-hmm. for this. So you might have, you know, just been for the love of dance, just found yourself inside of a circle mm-hmm. and get smoked, you know. Mm-hmm. But like mm-hmm. so tell me about the first time that you battled seriously, trained in.
It wasn't a competition. It was at a club. It was actually at a club called Deep. It was house music. But a lot of poppers went to that club. It was every Sunday night. Like, Deep. Those were the,
remember,
those were the days, man. Whenever somebody said, we're going to Deep, it's like, basically, we're going to church.
Absolutely.
Because it was Sunday night.
Exactly.
It's like, we're going to church. Let's go to church. Anyways, I went with Jackie and some friends and this and that. And I can honestly tell you, I don't even know the dude. I never saw him. I think he was from out of town. But this guy and I, we went round after round after round. And I didn't give up. He didn't give up. I felt like, in a sense, he smoked me 5 rounds, but I smoked him 5 rounds. Like,
right.
It was one of those where, like, none of us were going to give up until the DJ stopped.
Right.
even people started watching us, and then they started leaving us alone, and then they came
and
back
came
after
back and
a
you
drink.
Still going,
you know what I mean?
Right?
But that was one, to me, where it leveled me up, because it also reminded me, again, foundation. Working off of the foundation, because mm-hmm. I was like, yo, this guy has patterns. Like, and when I mean by patterns, like, he's got variations, he's got this and that.
Right.
Then I was like, yo, he's got levels. Okay, let me throw my levels. Right. And then we just kept exchanging. At the end of the day, by the end of the night, it was a great, like, yo, amazing. Thank you, man. That was fun, this and that. But in the moment, it was like, I'm going to take your head off.
Absolutely.
I don't like you for some reason because you're offending me for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe you're too good, or I don't know what it was, but it was just like, We're gonna go in.
That's
and
weird.
that was probably one of the most serious, like, heavy battles I've
I
had.
See.
Yeah.
Now, what about the most embarrassing battle moment And you can listen. Embarrassing can be by your own definition. I'm not talking about you falling or anything. I'm sorry when you walk away. When you walked away feeling like,
I mean, oh my goodness. Yeah, I'll say it's kind of embarrassing. It was kind of funny too. It was it's called the Battle of the Belts, and a brother, we call him brother. He was throwing the event, and it was somewhere in Hollywood, the event, and I entered the popping, and I went against somebody first round. I beat them, and then I had to battle J-Rock for the belt. And I was so nervous because he was actually one of like my teachers in the beginning.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he basically kind of showed me a lot, took me on the side. I've even paid him for privates or whatnot. And I was like, teach me the foundation. Okay, moving forward, I'm battling him and I'm like, oh damn, I'm battling one of my teachers. Okay.
Right.
So I'm going ham. I'm trying to win. I'm trying to beat him because I'm not that new in the game. Or I mean, I'm not that famous in the game. Meanwhile, I take the win. I take the belt. I'm like, yes, this and that. Jackie, my wife, comes up to me. She goes, you know, because it was three rounds. She goes, you know, first round, you ripped your pants. I was like, what? Because back then, it's like baggy pants too, right? She's like, yeah, just, she goes, you don't know? You don't feel the wind? Like breezing through breeze? And I was like, no, what are you talking about? She goes, take a look. And I look, and literally from this down here to my ankle is ripped because I did a shoot down.
Not to the ankle.
Because I did a shoot down, and it must have ripped. But I was so high with adrenaline, I didn't hear it. I didn't feel it. I was so nervous. I was like, yo, so you're telling me the rest of the two rounds, I was still exposing my stuff and all that, doing boogaloo rolls and all that, doing more shoot downs, one-legged drops, and I'm just showing all leg. And she's like, yeah, pretty much. She goes, all right, I got to go battle now. I'll see you later. I was like, so, thanks, and man. Then I was like, give me your jacket. Give me your, like, and I tied it around my waist. And I'm like, but I tied it even in front. You know how, like, you put the jacket in his back? Yeah. I put it in front, like, I got a mini skirt, like, a skirt. Because I was just like, yo, and nobody told me this, you know?
Yo, that had to be, listen, that had to be some adrenaline going. If you,
it was,
if you
rip man.
It down, listen, if you ripped it down to the ankle and you didn't feel the breeze, you had to be.
That was probably, that was when I was like, oh, man. So then from then on, I made sure before I battled, I would train and practice in those pants, whatever pants I was wearing, just to make sure I didn't rip anything.
That's funny. But now, while we're on that real quick, what's your favorite, do you have a favorite battle wear? Garb.
So I don't know if I'm like letting out too much, but I'm kind of superstitious in that way.
Okay.
Like I'll wear maybe like the same, I'll definitely buy the same shoes. I wear Adidas Rod Laver
because
it just has a nice shell toe, but it's also flat for poppers because it's good maneuvering. So no matter what, I'm always wearing those shoes.
Right.
I'm always wearing like my favorite cap at the time, whatever cap it is. I'm most likely wearing a light t-shirt. And now it was for a long time, especially after the ripping of the pants, I was wearing sweats, but now I went back to jeans that kind of stretch a little bit,
cool. There you go.
The Levi's stretch. so I'm at that right now, but, it's weird. Like sometimes if I won the previous battle in that outfit, I'll probably go with the same outfit because I'm just like that.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, I don't win that second event, but you know, it is what it is. But you definitely got to wear something that complements your body type, especially in battles/competitions.
Of course.
Club battles is a whole different ballgame, right? Mm-hmm. But competitions, it is about presenting yourself to the judges, to the audience. So you're trying to win likes with everybody.
Right.
And you're also trying to dance comfortably. Some people don't care. You'll see them still in sweats. You'll see them still in their gear. But I feel like you have to definitely practice in what you think you're going to wear for the battles. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to feel uncomfortable. Something's going to feel foreign about it. Mm-hmm. Something's going to feel like, I don't feel good. This is weird.
Because
you're already dealing with a different environment besides a studio setting, your garage, your living room.
Right.
You're dealing with a different, like, oh, this is what it is. I got people watching.
You got people watching.
So you
got
to feel as comfortable as possible. And I feel like what you wear, how you present yourself, and even like an athlete, what you eat. Like what you eat during the day or even during the week, it's like going to the playoffs or it's going to the final game, you know, like
absolutely.
How do you prepare is what is
body,
what really is gonna see the end results in the end.
Now following that regimen, what is one of your proudest battle moments? He's like so many So many.
Man. I'd have to say winning R16 up in the Bay to represent the US. I had the year prior I won freestyle session. I'm gonna go to a different country to represent my country and put USA on my back and whatnot. It was a big deal to me, you know.
Right.
So winning the R16 North American qualifier was probably one of the biggest, you know, biggest accomplishments for me in terms of the battle, where I was like, I'm enjoying this win. Like,
Absolutely.
this is a cool win for me.
And then also, I mean, it just, you know, with it coming full circle, you start at the beginning of your process of, you know, having to almost fight for the chance to do the style of dance that you want to do. And you know, every day you get to look at the fruits of that choice that you made, you know, that you chose to fight for what you wanted to do,
Yes.
and obviously it was the right choice,
It
you
was.
know.
For me, it was. For me, it was. And honestly, that's a message I'd like to send out to everybody. If one is thinking about second doubts or this and that, if you love it, don't stop.
And with that, okay. So the message that what is the message that you pass on that will that you hope to pass along to, you know, Versus Styles Next Generation, and you know, any students that you or person that you come in contact with, like what is the mission statement, if you will?
Number one, for me personally, is do what you love. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, just do what you love. And with that, but dedicate yourself to your craft, because we are in a day and age where it's very hard to be seen. It's very hard to get booked or to work or to this
Right.
and that, or even to win a battle. Whatever your passion is at that moment, you have to put in the work, you know? And I'm trying to instill that for them, and I'm trying to share that with them, that make this a challenging process for you. Make this a hard process. Make this a fun process, because really, to me, for me personally, experience, dance is life. It's a
Right.
very similar marriage to me. You know what I
Right,
mean?
right.
There's going to be your ups and downs. You're going to feel good one day. You're not going to feel good the next. You're going to experience with others that it's like life. So for me, though, dedicate yourself to your craft. And if you do that, yes, just know you're going to have to make some sacrifices too. Like, you're going to have to tell your girlfriend or your boyfriend, I can't be with you tonight. I got to train, or
Right.
this and that. And you have to find somebody that's going to meet you at the same wavelength to understand that they know your craft means a lot,
Right.
you know, and
Right.
they have to believe in you as well, you know. So I feel like, to me, to share that with VSNG and the next generation is very important. But also, please, please remember, or not remember, know a little bit or have awareness of where it came from, because this is the main ingredient right now that is getting lost. And I'm actually feeling for my teachers and mentors, because they're kind of getting left in the dust, and they're like, oh, he's old, or this and that. It's like, no, but like what we were saying, like, he or she has so much to say that can make you have a faster process than I did. You know, like, it can maybe shrink a year or two in the evolution of your growth in this dance. So listen, be a sponge, and also to get out of your comfort zone,
Right.
travel and experience. Because honestly, at the end of the day, what I'm blessed is I get to do what I love to do. I'm able to pay my bills with it, but I've been able to travel. I didn't go to college. I didn't get a great job, but this dance has taken me around the world, where, in a sense, I've got another form of education. And to me, that is huge. And if I can give that, or I can try to offer that opportunity to these kids, that 9 times out of 10, they probably won't get that opportunity
Right,
because of,
right.
you know, the social background and
Right.
where they're at, then it makes me just feel even more complete. And
Right.
to see them smile, especially like now, the A company, the ones that I've raised, I got a guy, his name is Ernesto, aka Precise.
Nasty. Yeah.
This boy is just banging right now.
Nasty. Yeah.
And to me, to see him smile and traveling and be with him and joke around with him now is like a little brother, big brother relationship, but also see him shine, I'm good now.
Right.
Like, the battles to me don't mean I'll enter, but to see him and the
Right.
others enter and make a name,
Right.
because I know how much it means to them,
Them.
because I
Yeah.
experienced that too. So
Right.
And then at the same time, they're touring to Scotland. They're going to Italy. They're going to Israel. They're going where we've been and or around the nation, and having people clap and go up to them, say, "You inspire me." Man, that's life, man. Like, to me, that's life. I don't know what other, anything better right. than that to right. me, man. But right. I mean, it, like Marjorie Smart, may she rest in peace. Live true, dance free.
Live true, dance free.
You know?
And then lastly, this is what, because, and this is a perfect way to lead it. Just kind of led us up to this, right? It's a two-part question. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to this from the moment you just had, like, yo, that's life. That's what it is. What is a message to from present day Breeze, mm-hmm. message to younger Breeze, and what no longer defines present day Breeze that used to define younger Breeze?
It's not that serious, man. It's not that serious. And
now what's it like?
Stop caring.
How, like,
stop caring what others think. Stop trying to search for validation.
Right. Right.
In time, through your training, through your practice, through your craft, you'll get the respect that you've been searching for right. or that you've been wanting. But if you don't enjoy the journey, it's just wasteless time.
Right.
And I feel like there's been a, like, because I said the main struggle for me was mental. Was like, I wanted to be accepted.
Right.
I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be a part of the hardcore poppers or this and that. But then I realized my time is different from this guy's time right. or her time. Mm. It might take me a slower process than he or she did. Mm. But if I'm not enjoying it, then why do it? You right. know? So message to that one, to older Breeze, is enjoy it, because you're going to get there. And if you don't enjoy the present moment, then you're not living life.
Right.
You're not living
right.
life through the dance and through your art and through your craft. And then you're not living true. You're living for others. And right. I feel a lot of us do that.
A lot of us do that. Especially, you know, with how we are today. I mean, we've built it into autopilot that we're constantly checking up on others, right?
Yes.
So as we're checking up on others, we also want to be checked on as well.
Yes.
Right?
Like, so
hashtag
true.
Blessed. Gym life.
So true, man. It is.
I woke up like this. You know what I mean? There's like a hashtag for every part of your day.
It
you know
is.
What I mean? So
it is.
We're kind of used to that. So I agree.
It is. Yeah.
It's tough.
And present now, I'm just enjoying where I'm at. I've realized now you can't win them all. Mm. If anything, you're going to lose more than you win, you know, mm-hmm. but it's a thing that I'm taking from something that I read again through social media. Yeah. It's not a win or lose. It's win or learn.
Yes.
You either win or you learn, you know, and I'm really trying to take that motto and just kind of be like, yo, life, whatever you give to me, man, I'm game. Let's go. You know, I'm going to try to rise above it, and every day is a new day.
You know? I love it.
Yeah.
It's not whether you win or lose, whether you win or learn.
Yeah.
I love it. Now, Breeze, where can they find you on the socials, on the Facebook accounts? Where
man.
Can they find you these days?
Instagram, BreezeLee82, or, you know, just look me up on Facebook. I'll be honest, I'm very rarely on YouTube, though I should probably kick my butt and get back on that. But you can definitely check out VersaStyleDance.org.
There we go.
Because that's where you can get up-to-date information where the company's performing,
absolutely.
Et cetera. And yeah, I mean, that's... Otherwise, catch me in a cypher, in a circle, or an
Boom,
event,
exactly.
and let's exchange, let's have a good time, and then let's also just go out to eat and chop it up after
100%.
That.
100%. For shout-out purposes, just because this is what we should do with the platform, can you please shout out any mentors that you would like to shout out right
yes.
now that we maybe we didn't get to talk about, or maybe we did, but just shout
sure.
them out. And listen, you guys, the reason that I'm doing this is so you can use the incredible tool that the internet is, that YouTube is, and all this, and you know, just take a couple of minutes. And I'm not saying you got to look up every single name he's saying. Look up one, look up one, and just get a little tidbit of information that he's putting down. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. This might be a long list, but
all right.
Rennie Harris, Poppin' Pete, Mr. Wiggles, Sugar Pop, Tony Basil, Boppin' Andre. Showtime, mm-hmm. Jackie Lopez, aka Miss Funk.
Hey.
We got Sekou, we got Buddha Stretch,
yes.
We got Link, we got Khalif,
yes.
We got Tony McGregor, we got Sean S, we got Shaw Witchaway, we got even Brian Green.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to go.
Guys, listen, I put him on the spot with this, you know what I mean? So I'm sure there's going to be names when he's riding home, like, oh my
yeah,
God,
I should have said that.
So with that, you know, for those watching and listening, sorry if there's no shade if somebody got left off the list.
Exactly.
I literally just put him on the spot now. It would be like me asking you to name your entire third grade class, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Flawlessly. Like, there's going to be somebody that you'll forget.
And I apologize. But also, my mentors too, but also I got to give credit and respect to my peers right now in the game. And I want to give respect to J-Rock, Popula, Slim Boogie, Jay Smooth, Bionic, Kid Boogie, Rashad, Future, even a different realm besides Popping. We got Toy and Tasha. We got Frankie G. We got the whole Serial Steppers from France. And then we got Guchan. We got Kite. Like, all these guys, I'm sure if you haven't seen them on YouTube or whatnot, look them up. We got Frankie. We got Nelson. We got Green Tech.
Yes.
Monster Pop. We got Venom. These guys have also, and Dassey, and, like, you know, even females in the game too. Pandora, these people have also been an inspiration for me. So I cannot just say mentors and teachers. It's it's even my peers in the same time growing up where they pushed me, where they've, you know, either whether we talked about it or they showed me in the cipher or on a clip or whatnot, they're an inspiration too. So, you know, much respect to all y'all, and keep doing what you're doing. Love my mentors, love my teachers, and love my peers.
Breeze Lee, thank you so much for coming through to the lab, man. I appreciate you so much, brother.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hey, thank y'all so much, man. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you follow this guy. Follow Versus Styles Dance Company. Catch him in the cypher. We're going to test that discipline. Peace.
Peace.